printed up some outlines for this evening. I never mentioned to him how many to print. I think he has more faith than I, especially this evening, because looked at the number this evening. That's impressive.
I will have four left over.
You'll have four. You've already made a count.
I've already made a count. I know how many I printed.
It's good to see so many out and about this evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Mentioned in a couple of weeks on Sunday night, I'll try to present a lesson and meet the request for a sermon on the Godhead. And I'm not taking any more requests, though. stump the preacher, figure out what topic he may trip over. So this lesson, my own reading, I just came across. I said this would make an outline. I thought again when I mentioned earlier. I should be able to do this rather quickly. It just turned out to take longer than I thought, but I'm really glad I did it. Comes from the text in Philippians 4, verse 8. I quoted from the King James Version. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things." So when your Bible says think, I looked that up, and think is just the idea of meditate, consider, take into account. Give serious and careful thought. Ponder. Means to think in a particular way. Deliberate on. Reason. And then it also gave the opposite in the definition, the dictionary definition. Opposite is ignore. So if we are, let's just think on these things. So spend some time. Give it some effort. Focus. Take it into account. As I put in your notes, what's the reason for giving this list? Why is this section right here in that closing chapter of the book of Philippians? In verses 6 and 7, evidently the verses preceding this text, evidently there was a lot of anxiety in their life. And so Paul, in writing to them in the closing argument or the closing thought, along with prayer, he says this list would provide a peace that passes all understanding. So no doubt they had things they were worried about that were pressing on their mind. So Paul says, I want you to take your thoughts off the pressing circumstances and think about these things. It's not a poem, I thought illustrated it. I don't know who the author is. It said, I got up early one morning, rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't have time to pray. Problems just tumbled upon me. Heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, you didn't ask. Well, I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He said, you didn't seek. I tried to come into God's presence, used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, my child, you didn't knock. So I woke up early this morning, and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. And that's the way it is. I think that's what Paul was addressing to these brethren in Philippi. There was so much to worry about. Our missionaries in jail. Writing a letter from jail. Look what we're going through. What will we do? How can of anxiety, Paul says, pray. Pray. Then you can enjoy a peace that passes understanding. Now, I think about the second hand on the clock. When I think about people that are saying, oh, I'm just so busy, I have a lot to do. And that second hand on the clock, you just have to tick once each second. If I were that second hand, I'd be anxious. Because, you know, if I started focusing on my ticking, I think, you know what, I have to tick 60 times in the next minute. Not only that, I have to tick 3,600 times in the next hour. That's a lot of ticking. So then I multiplied it out in a full day, 24 hours. That second hand has to tick 86,400 times in a day. If I was a second hand, I'd be anxious. Well, all you have to do is tick once each second. All you have to do. Once each second. If you tried to do it all in 1 second, something's wrong. Can't do that. It's interesting, too, when I think about that phrase, second hand. Really, I think it's a misnomer. We think about the hands on a clock. We usually think, oh, one hand is the hour hand. The second hand is the minute hand. And the third hand is the second hand. I think, wait a minute, second hand is, it should be called the third hand. But it's called the second hand. I don't spend much time dwelling on that. But I just kind of wonder, why is the third hand on a clock called the second hand when it's the third hand? That'll give you something to think about on your drive home. Anyway, these brethren were living in circumstances that they couldn't change. So the Apostle Paul is telling them to change their attitude. They can change that. So there'll be times in your life and mine when our focus should be on the positive side of life, and that's what Paul is drawing these brethren to at the close of this letter. Paul's not being Pollyanna, or head in the clouds. Rather, he's saying if our only focus is on our anxiety and the circumstances we can't change, it's going to overwhelm us. So he said back in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And then in the verse right preceding our text, pray. And think on these things. So, the lesson. Don't even, I've known people that cannot watch the evening news because so many times the news is focusing on local and national and world turmoil and troubles and protests. Sometimes they think that's all I can focus on at the moment. I says, I don't want to focus on that. I'm not even going to watch it. And we sing a song in our book, number 742, titled Count Your Many Blessings. I think it's titled Win Upon Life Billows, but count your many blessings. And at the end of that first stanza, there's a phrase I just appreciate so very much. Because after you count your many blessings and you name them one by one, then that phrase, it'll surprise you. Surprise you what the Lord has done. But if you focus on your circumstances, you'll be overwhelmed. So this lesson is, think on these things. So number one, think on things that are true. By dictionary definition, Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words, means something that's primarily unconcealed, or has been made manifest, is true, or it's exactly as appears or claimed. True means it's authentic, or actual or true to fact, and not merely as a possibility. So my thought was, you know, if I'm going to be strengthened in faith and be strengthened in overcoming circumstances of life, what do I want to think about that's true? And my thoughts go to God. So number one, I think about God. And in John 7, verse 28, Jesus said, he that sent me is true, meaning he's authentic. Oh, that gives me comfort. In a world that's where many times we are presented with untruths, I think about God that's true, authentic. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9, Paul writes this, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living," and there's that phrase, "true God." True God. Hebrews 6, verse 18 says it's impossible for God to lie. So when I focus on things that are true, things that will give me comfort in trials and troubles, oh, God is true. I can always trust Him. Whatever He says. Then I think of Jesus Himself. And He said in John 14, verse 6, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." Ah, He's true. He said in John 12, verse 48, I didn't put that one in your notes, in fact, I don't have it in mind either, but John 12, verse 48, He says, "You know, the things that I speak, the Father's given me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak." So if God is the one true God and Jesus is speaking from God, He's speaking truth. And then the word of the Godhead is truth in John 16, verse 13. Jesus said, "When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you, the apostles, into all truth. He'll not speak on His own authority. For whatever He hears, He will speak. He'll tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So even when in delivering God's message to the apostles, the Holy Spirit, being a spirit of truth, was not a maverick. He didn't make up His own message. He didn't counsel with anybody else. He took what the Father gave Jesus to give to Him. So we speak of our Bible as the inspired Word of God. So when you think about things that are true, what can I trust in? God is. Number two, think about things that are honest. Let me make this personal. You'll take it into account. I want to think about things that are honest, so I want to be honest. I want to be ethical. I want to conduct myself in such a way that it will be esteemed by others. I want to be honorable or bring honor, you know, to an honorable life, honest. The application is that we consider, or we should be in the habit of telling the truth. The opposite is deception or guile. Remember, Peter said in referring to Jesus, in Him was no guile found in His mouth. Spoke truth. We don't want to speak falsely. So we want to live an honest life. Remember the story of a teacher who would always say to his students before they would take a test, he would say, "Today, students, you're taking two tests. One's a math test and the other's a test of honesty. If you can only pass one test, be sure it's the test of honesty." Don't cheat. Think about things that are honest. Number three is just, meaning that which is in accordance with right. Doing that which frees you from guilt or blame. Think about things that are just. Micah 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O man, what is good." Well, what is good? He answers what He's shown. "And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly?" Yeah. Love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Means to fulfill your duty in accordance with the divine standard. You live. Think about things that are just. I want to think about being just in my life. Number four is pure. Dictionary definition, keep from defilement. Means to be cleansed. Signifies something that's unalloyed or mixed. Chaste is one of the definitions. Sincere. Unmixed. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Since you purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." So even in our relationships with one another, I need to think about purity and love one another with a pure heart, just as I've purified my soul in obedience to the truth. Number five is lovely. Of course, if you say something lovely, you know it, that's attractive or pleasing. It's agreeable. One definition says something is lovely, it's that which calls forth love. Love, with definition, we think of, if I think of love, it's known from the action it prompts. Now, love just doesn't stand alone. Love is that which seeks the welfare of another. It has the other's best interest in mind. So if we love the brethren or love one another, or husbands love your wives, we want to seek the best. Look out for what their welfare. Think about things that are lovely. Number six, good report. The word good report wasn't in the Vine's dictionary. I guess maybe it's because it's two words. So I got a different dictionary out, my own. I just said behave yourself. Good report. It's used, by the way, I didn't put not my notes, but good report is used when it talks about the qualification of elders. You know, good report from them that are without. So there is a way that we need to live our lives and think about the way we live our lives that will cause others to appreciate the gospel message in our life and not blaspheme it. So behave ourselves. Number seven is any virtue. Think about any virtue. Means moral goodness or excellence. Any virtue, think about that, a quality that gives you special worth. And that'll be different with each of us. We have a character or a talent or an ability. Many of us might be uniquely ours, but think about that virtue, that quality, that excellence, that moral goodness that gives you special worth. 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, for this very reason, meaning because of the precious promises that have been given to us, we need to give diligence and add to our faith virtue. Add virtue. And then the list continues. Virtue. Last one is praise, meaning commendation. Think about praise. Because if we don't, if we just think about our trouble and turmoil in our world or maybe in our neighborhood or local, national, world news, we're going to get overwhelmed. And we'll just kind of, So think about praise. Commendations. Speak praise of. To laud. To bless. To compliment. So find somebody to praise. Thank them for something. Let them know that you appreciate someone else is doing. Read this poem a while back in one of the lessons. It doesn't have a title, and I don't know who the author is. It goes like this. Wouldn't this old world be better if the folks we met would say, I know something good about you, and treat us just that way. Wouldn't it be fine and dandy if each hand clasp, warm and true, carried with it this assurance, I know something good about you? Wouldn't things be more pleasant if the good that's in us all were the only thing about us that folks bothered to recall? Wouldn't life be lots more happy if we praise the good we see, for there's lots of goodness in the worst of you and me. The last stanza. Wouldn't it be nice to practice this fine way of thinking too? You know something good about me, and I know something good about you. James 4 verse 11 says, speak not evil of one another. I tell you, think about praise. Think about compliments too. And then you have that peace that passes all understanding. Paul gave one last verse after these things to think about in verse 9. I put that in the bottom of your notes. says the things. Here's some things which you learned and you received and you took it to heart. It's not just head knowledge. I learned it and I received it. Boy, it's in my life. And saw in me. Why? These things do. And the God of peace. Oh, there's the text. That peace that passes understanding. And the God of peace will be with you. So I think, wow, can I recommend my life like that? The things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me. Oh, that's the standard. That's the standard. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, exhortation. I'm going to sing a song like that this evening. If you're here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church, never been baptized for remission of sins, meaning you're not a Christian, and not been born again, we can accomplish that this evening. Simply need to let that resolve be known till we sing a song. If you want to respond in a public way or just speak up after the song, you're very welcome to do that. And let that request